How's it going, Armstrong County? Welcome back to the Greatest City in the World podcast. Have another commissioner candidate interview and returning from 4 years ago.
Yes.
Anthony Shea. Just very happy to see you running again. Very happy to have you back on the channel, and we'll get kind of an updated view of where you're at and what you think. So, but for the people that didn't watch 4 years ago, shame on you. But
should have watched it.
But tell them about yourself. Who are you, and how did you come to want to be Armstrong County Commissioner?
That's a very good story. Yeah. How did I get here? Sounds like one of those other things, places you go to.
Right.
No, a little bit about myself. I'm Anthony Shea. I'm a native from Leechburg. I lived there when I was a kid. I graduated high school in 1985. So I'm telling my age, if you want to figure that all out.
Yeah.
Old. So anyhow, right out of high school at 18, I went into the Air Force. I enlisted in as an MP. I did 9 years as an MP. I worked as a prison guard, a patrolman, law enforcement desk sergeant. While I was doing that, I also worked a second job in Domino's Pizza that helped pay for the college I was taking, which was really hard. I always talk about getting my degree with chewing gum and duct tape, but I earned my bachelor's degree in computer science, which really was challenging as a cop.
Yeah.
Did that. I applied for officer candidate school. Surprisingly, even with my 2.74 GPA, they took me, and I went through officer candidate school, was commissioned a second lieutenant. As an officer, I worked as a comm computer officer. I started off working at Air Force Global Weather Central. I actually did everything that you could to optimize the different IT technologies. The area where I worked was called product improvement.
Wow.
And my goal was to find technologies and find out how we could use those for the Air Force for weather. One of the first examples I had was actually designing a cloud model where we could actually fly planes through clouds at certain mixtures of fuel and not create contrails, thus make the planes less susceptible to missiles.
Oh, wow.
Also, I got my teeth cut there. I was the only comm guy who worked as a weather service officer. And one of my first nights was the Flight 800 tragedy with TWA.
Yeah.
And I had to deal with that. So I learned real quickly how to deal with problems real fast. Went on from there to Air Force Space Command. I worked on various space systems, one of those being Space Track, where we actually built blocks around all our different space assets. And through time, we were able to keep them from running into space debris.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not, Russians actually were blowing up their satellites and such. There's even hammers and gloves out there floating around. But when those things hit your windshield at 17,500 miles an hour, they can really do some damage.
Yeah, sounds like it.
It's also the basis for my book that I gave you earlier,
yeah,
Without
yeah.
Warning. It's available on Amazon. Do a pitch for it.
Yeah.
From Air Force Base Command, I went to DISA, the Defense Information Systems Agency over in Germany. There, I basically serviced first the internet, both the secure and non-secure. So I traveled all over Europe and the Middle East to keep the infrastructure going. From there, I moved on to the voice system. And some of the things I did that was really interesting was I helped with the Kosovo crisis.
Yeah.
We actually had, out of the theater places and in theater. So we were constantly setting up communications to some of the most forward locations in Pristina. So I got to work up the Marines and all the different services. That was very interesting. It's amazing. You know, we all kid each other about what service you're in and make jokes. But when you're all working together in a war zone, everybody comes together. They don't care. They really don't care about politics, whether you're Republican or Democrat. They all care about being an American.
Yeah.
So that was something very enlightening and very I found it really neat to do that. After I was in Germany, I moved on to VMI. So I was a teacher there, assistant professor. That was a career broadening. It was very interesting working with the cadets. You know, I know out there are good kids. They're going to do good things. If people say our youth is lost, I don't believe that for a minute.
I don't either.
There's a lot of good kids out there and a lot of kids with character. So that actually got me going really well there. From there, I was going to retire. And they said, hey, how would you like a promotion to major? And one more assignment, running recruiting support. And in my last job, I oversaw the 4-state area for recruiting support. So I learned a lot about the Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Ohio, West Virginia, Maryland. So it was neat to see that. I worked with all the schools and helped get kids into the military. Also, we onboarded doctors, lawyers, dentists, and all that as well. So got a good cross-section of what this area was about. After I retired, I went into banking. I worked two different banks. I also worked in healthcare. In the banking industry, I worked building out infrastructure. I basically worked with Fortune 500 companies And we basically worked to do the technical and the business side. And I was the person that sort of liaised on all those different pieces. And that grew really well. Then I went into healthcare. One year, I went to Highmark. It was probably the worst thing. You know, it was a bait and switch. I went there and they said, guess what you're going to work on? Obamacare.
Yeah.
You talk about a sinking ship.
Yeah.
In fact, I went to my managers and said, hey, this is losing money hand over fist. And they started yelling at me for that. From there, I went to UPMC. And in that role, I essentially did visible light products. I took the IT and software development and was able to bring a visible light product into production, which required FDA approval. I also built prototypes for cancer research. One of the things we did was we designed software which would track lesions, what you know as tumors,
yep,
and how immunotherapy would work to actually thwart those. And we were able to get FDA approval on certain therapies that worked. And I currently work in IT, building out infrastructure for IT for business banking. Besides all that, in my free time,
every time I hear your resume, I'm like, how did this guy do all this stuff?
I sleep like 4 and 5 hours a night.
Yeah,
surprisingly, I don't sleep much.
You're like part of that 1% that only needs 4 or 5 hours, and you just be productive 20 hours a day.
And I've learned how to catnap a little bit.
Okay.
I can catnap for a minute or two, and that usually does the trick. I'll set like a stopwatch, catnap, and keep going.
Very cool. But, sorry to interrupt you.
No problem
at
all.
So what do you do in your free time?
So in my free time, besides having 4 kids, which is very challenging, I have 1 son and 3 daughters, and they're all different ages, from age 30 to way down to 15. Mm-hmm. When my wife got pregnant with number 5 or 4, she says, guess what, we're pregnant. It's like, we can't be, we're both over 40. But she is the greatest thing that ever happened. I, you know, love kids. I love my family. And now my daughter, she's going to be getting married soon. So that's exciting. The whole time with kids, I've done the Boy Scouts, the cheerleading. I know how to do a high pony, believe it or not.
Nice.
So I've learned all the different things that you have to deal with both boys and girls. And having 3 daughters has taught me a lot. Also, I serve on the Leechburg School Board. I actually first got into office in 2011, and I've been there for the last 11 years. So I've learned a lot about how the school works. Over the years, I've picked up more responsibility. I currently serve as the president of the school board for Leechburg.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and then I also serve on the Lenape Joint Operating Committee. I started that back in 2014 as a JOC member. There, Lenape is one of the best jewels of Armstrong County.
Yeah.
It does so much, and it helps so empower so many folks. But in that role, I helped keep the lights on and everything working, and we brought a lot of kids to good jobs right out of high school. It's amazing. A welder can get right out of high school and make a good living. A mechanic, all of those different skills on. And people have this misconception that you have to have a bachelor's degree to be successful, and you don't.
No.
The skills that Lenape offers in the adult education program. And also, I'm proud to say, while I was there, we actually took out this loan to build the Adult Education Center.
Mm-hmm.
We were scoffed at first. Why are you doing that? But if we did that, we knew if we built it, they would come. So we built the building, and we were able to attract BC3 into the county.
Yeah.
And BC3, over the years, has grown. As you know, just recently, they cut the ribbon in Ford City.
Yeah.
So that was a really good thing. But it all started at Lenape. Way back in 2014, 2015, getting all that going.
Yeah, it's a game changer for Ford City.
It's a game changer.
It's going to be really good for them.
And those roles with the technical schools, with the Adult Education Center, with BC3, that tools our young folks and some of the older folks too who need to upskill or change their skills and get them back into the workforce and moving, being very successful with livable wages.
Yeah.
Besides all that, I also serve on the Gilpin Rifle Club, where I'm the treasurer. Believe it or not, I serve on the Republican committee locally, on the state committee as well. So always keeping busy. We were able on the state committee to bring a lot of different candidates in at the Senate governor level. Now we've been doing the judicial candidates and such.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been really productive. The Republican Party in general, it was about 5-6 people about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have meetings with 50 or 60. So it's kind of neat where that's all gone to and grown to.
Yep. Very,
I'm
very
trying
cool.
to think anything else because I have so many different, I have so many balls in the air right now. And there's probably things I'm forgetting. Also, one of the things I like doing is writing. As we were talking about off air, I like writing about the history and especially the history of Armstrong County.
Yeah.
Last summer, my wife and I actually walked all around Western Armstrong County. We started up in Hobby Township through Parker, and we went the whole way down to Freeport and all over zigzag, met the people, wrote about the people we met and about the history of these different areas. A lot of those stories you can see on Facebook,
yeah.
And they were all published in the Leader Times. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah.
I probably took too long on that.
No, I love it. That's great. I think the more information people have, the more opportunities there are to connect. And
yes.
I'm one of those people too. It's like, the more you go, the more you can meet people, the more you can figure out what are people's problems and how can I help? And
well, you know what? People don't want to just elect a sign. They don't want to go along the road and say, okay, I see candidate X, Y, Z signs. They want to know who that person is behind the sign.
Yep, definitely. So with all that going on, I mean, how did you come to this point that you say, like, I want to be Armstrong County's next commissioner?
For me, I look at the county, and I probably will get into, like, the areas for improvement and strengths. But
sure.
I see what worries me is I think we're going in the wrong direction. I think sometimes this county is stalemating. When you go east towards, actually east is that way, mm-hmm. just joking, towards Indiana, you go towards Butler. You can see a lot more prosperity. And when you drive through the Katanning area in and around Armstrong County, there isn't quite as much prosperity. And to go a little bit further, we're at the top of the list for like OD deaths within the state of Pennsylvania.
Mm.
We're very close, according to the coroner's office, at number one or very close to number one for per capita deaths. There's a lot of things that are problems here. But I also see a lot of opportunities. I'm a problem solver. I'm an innovator by nature. I look at things and say, okay, not wonder how it would be, but wonder how we can get to something better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what I want to do. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm looking out there to all the folks. I want to do something better for everybody and make it a better place. It isn't going to be perfect. It never is.
Right.
But you could solve all the problems. I always, liken it to like the radio playing really loud. And as you solve the problems and make things better, that sound goes down gradually. All of a sudden, you're at a point where, okay, everything's very manageable. But I'm here to help. I'm here to try to drive the county forward.
I love it. So let's start with the good things. Like, what are the things that you really love about Armstrong County? What do you think? What are the strengths that you see that we have?
Well, first of all, we have a very rich history in Armstrong County. And I see that history as a way of actually attracting folks. Right where we sit, as we were talking about earlier, one of the biggest one of the most decisive or key turning points for the French and Indian War was Katanning.
Mm-hmm.
And the history around that, the makers of America came through Armstrong County, through Katanning, the generals we had in the Revolutionary War. I see that as part of the mix. I see the rivers going up and down. I can envision the day when ARDC works with the Army Corps of Engineers, with the different other organizations, with the federal elected leaders to open up the locks fully, the whole way to Katanning and ideally the whole way up to Brady's Bend. And we have boat traffic coming up, people parking at the docks, coming up into our town and using the different businesses. That's already happening down in Freeport.
Yeah.
Why don't we get that the whole way up here? I see that as a good point.
That would be
I
awesome.
See the trails. Those are amazing treasures that we have. And when we connect our county into Westmoreland and tie it into Allegheny and Butler, it's going to even open up more opportunities for tourists to come here. People that are motivated want to go on bike ride, hike, and just see the area. Again, the river, the resources, and another thing I see, what's really great about this area is it's just all these little towns. They have all their little personalities.
Yeah.
I've, as you go through like a Ford City, you go through a Katanning, there's little ethnic areas, there's just different groups of people, and they invite you in just like you're part of the family. I like that, and I think we can market that to have new people come in to come here, and I'll talk a little bit about more about that here as we go on.
Yeah, so... I mean, you've obviously been traveling all around for the campaign. You guys have been traveling all around just to learn more about the county from the sounds of it. You have any favorite places to go, favorite places to eat, like anything?
No, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
So, do I like answer, be a politician, say I like everywhere?
Yeah.
Probably the place I like the most, and this is just personal, is Gardas. I like the prime rib. I don't know. I just like prime rib.
I'm a big fan of Gardas myself.
I like going to the Mariner too. So they have some good seafood, and I can think of a whole bunch of different places I can go to.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not always the fancy. Sometimes it's the more of the mom and pops. I really enjoy that as well.
Yeah, the more home style, the better for me, or more handmade.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then favorite places. I think I mentioned this the last time. I like going to Buttermilk Falls.
Yeah, me too.
I love going up to the waterfalls. That is such a nice trail and a nice area. But there's a lot of different areas. I like the trails up in Roaring Run. And just in general, I like hiking.
Yeah. my wife and I got engaged at Buttermilk Falls, and then my kids 2 weeks ago ran me ragged on Buttermilk Falls. They took me like 5 miles in the woods. I didn't think I was ever going to make it back.
But I did,
luckily. So.
Oh, one other thing I want to add is it's been 3 years ago, I actually had a little bit of free time. So my daughter and I actually through hiked the whole Baker Trail. A lot of the Baker's Trail actually traverses through Armstrong County.
Yeah.
So we actually started down by Freeport, went in by Shenley, wound all through the county and came out on up in the other side.
Yeah.
In the Clarion and actually finished up in Forest County. But we did all 133.75 miles.
Wow.
And I got a lot of pictures. I have my own YouTube channel. So look at Anthony Shea Baker Trail if you want
to
see it.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm going to have to check it out. So, well, we got good stuff. You get a lot of the strengths. So what do you see as like biggest problems or biggest opportunities that you see like that you would want to work on when you're commissioner?
Day one, right now they talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, safety, security, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I see what's one of the biggest issues is we got to deal with the drug issue in the county. As I mentioned, the OD rate is way too high. We really need to address that. And we got to address it, not just spinning up a task force. We also got to look at it holistically where we do prevention, do programs like what Gary DiComo has with Drug Skill Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I know Scott Andressi had that as well at some point. Different folks. I have a drug awareness program for down in Leechburg, which has been running now 16 years. So the prevention is a leg. We got to do treatment. We got to deal with all the different pieces of that.
Yeah.
And another aspect of that, which is a segue into this, is the jail. Right now, the Armstrong County Jail, I see that as a safety issue. Nothing against the corrections officers there. God bless them. They're doing a great job. But there's a lot of problems with manning. There's a lot of forced overtime.
Mm.
And we got to find a new solution for that. The solution may not be, it's not going to be an easy one to solve because it's hard to hire people anywhere. You go almost any place and you're finding it hard to hire workers.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to look at how much overtime is being spent there. And maybe there's some solution that, where we could bump up the wages and get rid of the overtime and still come out ahead for the taxpayer.
Mm.
And I suspect we will if we did a study on that. And also find out what keeps people at a job. You know, what can we do to make it better there with the guards?
Yeah.
With the corrections officers. Sorry.
All right. No, you're good. So we got opioid epidemic. We got the jail system. What else?
Those are the issues I see. Also, probably unemployment's a little too high here. One of our big exports in Armstrong County is the people.
Yeah.
It worries me because a lot of our young people are actually moving away. They're getting the skill sets from Lenape, then going somewhere else out of the county to use them.
Yeah.
We need to find a way to marry up those skill sets, what BC3 offers with the local employers. And we do that to a certain point where we partner with the different businesses to find out what's available, what skill sets do they need. But we need to expand that out. One of the things I'd like to do at Lenape that I've been working with the other people in the JOC is build a diesel mechanic program out, build that out. Also expand out the CDL program and get the things that are hard hitting right now. We can address those immediately as far as some of those. Again, that's the great thing about trade jobs. You don't have to take 4 years to get them there.
Yeah.
Your pipeline is much shorter. So I see that as an opportunity.
Yeah.
So, and getting that turned around real quickly. And again, we got to deal with the safety and security. We got to reprime the pump, so to speak, with the skill sets. Another area I'd really like to market to that I don't think we've taken advantage of enough is the work from home crowd.
Mm.
And that will take actually building out the infrastructure a little bit more. And you might be thinking infrastructure, bridges, roads. I'm talking ones and zeros.
Yeah.
What we need to do is make sure we have broadband everywhere. Right now, some of the areas in Armstrong County aren't slated for very good high-speed broadband until 2028. That's way too long. That's half a generation. We got to get that sooner.
Mm.
And that takes basically being a pain in the you-know-what with our state and federal officials to move that along. And again, I plan to make Armstrong County relevant by going out and actually chasing that down and being a PETA. Mm-hmm. And you know what a PETA is,
yeah,
right?
I do.
So, and I've learned that works very effectively.
Yeah.
So I want to market to those work-from-home people saying, hey, look at these little communities that we've talked about. Look at these houses out in the country. Look at the road, the little places along the river. And those work-from-home families, nowadays you don't have to live by a big city
right.
to have a good-paying job. All you need is a good internet connection
mm-hmm.
and want to have somebody sit down and put their house here or bring their family and kids here.
Yeah.
So that's the area I'd really like to market to. And again, that same broadband and cell service I'd like to expand out, also work to get the smaller businesses in here that can tie to the skill sets of Lenape and BC3.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of going through a lot of these issues and I'm thinking about, okay, well, what else maybe people would want to hear? You're pretty thorough in your answers. I'm curious though. Tell me about like the drug prevention program that you have in Leechburg and like what's that been like and what are you seeing on the ground with that?
I've been doing this drug prevention program. It's called it's the Leechburg Elks Drug Awareness Program. I actually started in 2007. I was still active duty in the Air Force.
Oh, wow.
I was like many years younger, thinner, probably more hair back then. But we started it off. My inaugural time was with Denise Morano from Ark Manor with, I believe it was Scott Andressi. And then also I had Gary DiComo. And basically we go around to like, you'd be surprised how young a kids we go to, mm-hmm. third through fifth graders.
Okay.
And then we also do additional stuff for like the sixth through eighth graders. But we talk to the third through fifth graders and you think, wow, that's kind of young. But when you ask them, especially more recently, and this is what's really troubling, we'll say, how many of you have all seen drugs? Mm-hmm. And there's too many hands that go up.
Right.
And these are young kids that are dealing with this already.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of social issues we're working through at the schools, being on the school board. And this drug awareness program, you realize it right from the beginning. And we let the kids ask all the questions. And they ask, why can't my mommy stop taking drugs or my dad taking drugs? And that was really concerning. Yeah. And we push really hard for outreach. And we don't look at like the Leechburg Elks is in competition. We look at us, the Lions, and all the other groups are all complementary,
yeah.
where we keep spreading the same message. Mm-hmm. It isn't a competition. We're all working together. And that's how you deal with it. We have to do with communities, the policing. Kids should not be afraid to walk up to their police officers and have relationships with them. That is something we got to work on and build those relationships. You know what? When I was a kid, the cops knew us all. They knew when we were getting in trouble and they knew what to do if they caught us.
Yeah.
So we need that community policing in all the different communities. So that will be, and again, as I talk about drug awareness and drug prevention, it's a holistic effort. It isn't one where I just do one and done. It's something you keep doing over and over again. It's something where you don't win every time, but maybe you stop a few here and there,
right.
and nip things in the bud before they get too bad. Keep little problems versus them turning to big problems.
Yeah. Yeah. We just finished fundraising for our recovery facility.
Yes.
So we're really excited about that. And so I'm very passionate about that myself. Like, if we can work on this holistically, you got to take care of the supply side and the demand side. But if you can do that,
yes.
I really think we can turn it around without, I think a lot of times drug prevention has been like, push it to the next community, to the next county.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should be like, the buck stops here. Like,
yes.
Let's be the place where it stops.
And we can.
Yeah.
And it's going to take leadership.
Yeah.
It's going to take leadership across the board. It's going to take people having emotional intelligence that say, hey, we got to work together. Your program's good. My program's good. How do we synergize efforts?
Mm-hmm.
And the recovery is very important. You know, people get mad, throw them in jail and lock them away forever. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Most people that get in trouble for those kind of issues get back out. So we got to solve the problems. We can't just walk away. And you know what it takes? It puts a toll on the families.
Yeah.
Dealing with somebody who is addicted is hard for everybody around, not just the person who's addicted. I feel just as bad for the families who have to deal with that and who keep trying and get their heart broken, but have the faith that someday their loved one is going to recover and get to a place where they are very productive and this is all behind them.
Right. Now you talked a little bit about, just switching gears here, exporting people and maybe expanding those programs to get people plugged into more trade jobs, those kinds of things. How do you envision that happening? Would it be like bigger partnership with Lenape and BC3, or do you have ideas for other programs?
Well,
or
we need bigger partnerships with Lenape, BC3. We need to do innovative tax strategies where we're looking at LERTAs, Keystone Opportunity Zones, anything, every tool in the toolbox we have to keep those people here and get them, get businesses to set up here. And again, it's a whole, you know, it takes many different facets. There's many spokes to that wheel. There's the infrastructure, there's the workforce, there's the safety and security, and you got to get all those pieces going together, firing all eight cylinders essentially, or you're not going to have that happen. And there's nothing easy about it, and there's nothing that's going to work the first time. There's no one and done. Sometimes you have small victories, big victories, but one thing is you just don't stop trying, and you aggressively keep working it. And if something doesn't work, you try something else.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, you try something else. But one thing, you don't give up.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And then the work from home thing, I hadn't heard that. So, I mean, I'm in a relatively rural area, but I'm pretty close to Katanning.
Yes.
So we have high speed where we're at. What are the areas like, it sounds like you've already kind of researched this.
Yes.
What are the areas that don't have it yet?
And out in the Burl area, Valley, well, the Burl area for sure, the Valley area to a certain extent,
yeah,
and some of the hinterlands around the county,
okay,
the access isn't quite there. They don't have they'll never get fiber to some of these places, but you have to have enough high-speed internet so you can have a work-from-home
mm-hmm.
kind of setup, or a business can set up. These areas are targeted for upgrades in infrastructure, but a lot of them aren't coming until, like I said, 2028.
Right.
We got to accelerate that, and we got to find maybe other workarounds in between. And the thing is, even if you get it coming in 2028, you know, what's the rule? I can't even remember now. Moore's Law,
mm-hmm.
where basically technology doubles every 18 months.
Right.
So 5 years from now, even if we get the infrastructure we're talking about now, it might be obsolete. So we got to sometimes find ways to disrupt how the market works and just get to the next level.
Yeah.
So
that's something I don't think we talk about enough, because when we did a study a little while ago, it was like, what are young people looking for when they want to move into a new community? And it, mm-hmm. I was shocked by what it was. It was things like coffee shops,
yes.
Farmers markets, and high-speed internet.
Yes.
If they had good Wi-Fi wherever they were, and like fresh vegetables and good coffee, they were like, I'm good to go wherever.
It sounds like a good combination, all of those.
It does, yeah. But I was thinking it would be like, well, we need big companies and we need all this. It wasn't those things. It was like little stuff that,
yeah.
But that's important things, yes. Really important things that are like quality of life issues.
Yes. Yeah. And again, if you have a good internet connection, you can do many jobs from home, or you only go in once or twice a month to Pittsburgh or some other place.
Yeah.
So, and the young kids know that, and the older crowd is having to adapt to that. And what forced that along was the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So in the old days, everybody worked in the office. The pandemic basically changed how the whole culture, it was a whole paradigm shift on how we did business.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have too many other questions on that stuff. What else do you want to talk about in our last few minutes?
In our last few minutes, sort of just make one last pitch.
Yeah.
I've been around the county probably more than most. I can't speak for the other candidates. But between my hikes around the county, between door-to-dooring, I've managed to get to a lot of locations. I've knocked on doors where people said, nobody has ever came to my house before.
Yeah.
And everybody's looking for change. They're, you know, if you're waiting for Elger to come back, it's not going to come. Mm. If you're waiting for the Allegheny Ludlum to open up, that's not going to come. But it doesn't mean our future has to be bad. It's just going to be different. And as long as we turn the corner and we find the new places, the new industries that we can bring in. Maybe they're smaller and diverse, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
We get to work from home here. We deal with the safety and security issues. Armstrong County is a great place. It always has been. It is now. And it's going to be in the future. And the time is now for us, folks. As I look out to everybody here who's watching this, this is our time to work together. Y'all need a leader who's going to take us to that next level, who has that energy, who's not afraid to take some jabs along the way. Yeah, it's inevitable. I've learned ever since I've been a military officer, every decision you make, you already have a certain group of people sort of mad at you. So,
yeah.
And you can't make everybody happy. But I do promise everybody here, as I look out to y'all, I will give my heart and soul, every cell of my being, to make sure Armstrong County is a great place where the people will want to come here. They'll want to move here who haven't been here. The people that are here, that's a very important part, want to stay here. And don't look at the future with contempt or hopelessness, but say, hey, our best days are yet to come.
Mm.
They're not behind us. Those are the kind of things I bring to the table. I bring a lot of skill sets from my education. I've traveled to all 50 states, 35 countries. So I've seen how a lot of different areas have worked around the world. I've seen what works, what doesn't. I've learned to be successful as a leader, not because I was the best leader, or the smartest person, but I was smart enough to realize around me, there's a lot of smart people with a lot of good inputs. And if you don't care who gets the credit, you don't care, have the emotional intelligence to say, you know what? My opponent, the person I didn't get along with at all, has a better idea than me. I will take it and work it because that's the best thing.
Yeah.
And not have a pride issue or, you know, anything like that. I can do that. I have no problem doing that. Again, I want to see Armstrong County win. I want to see it win big time. I ask everybody out here as I look to y'all to give me a thought to vote on May 16th. Pick Anthony Shea, Republican.
Yeah. Love it, man. I was impressed with you last time, and I'm still impressed with you today. And if people want to support your campaign, if they want to ask more questions about some of the things we talked about or get your views on other things, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you right now?
Probably the best thing is go onto my Facebook page and private message me. Also, a lot of the campaign literature I hand out has my email address on it. And I'm kind of squeamish to give my home phone, but
yeah, I understand. Yeah, but, I wouldn't do that either. But I'll link your page and I'll put your email out there if that's okay. Yes. And then I'm also going to link to your book and to your YouTube channel because I'm going to check that out myself.
Yeah, I challenge y'all. You know what? I had somebody look at my YouTube channel. They watched all the videos and they said, you know what? I feel like I'm almost part of the Shea family.
Yeah.
After watching them all, it's like, I feel like I'm just part of your family, just the way you know, your commentary and your bad dad jokes and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you coming. Yes. It's a pleasure talk to you. And I wish you the best of luck in the coming campaign. And like I said, guys, if you want to find out more about Anthony, I'll have all the links in the description. And we'll just see you for the next one, friends.